I am illustrating the horror and simplicity of the lie. You are led to believe that you own something, but someone else secretly controls it as collateral, and they have now established legal certainty that they have absolute power to take it immediately in the event of insolvency, and not your insolvency, but insolvency of the people who secretly gave them your property as collateral. It does not seem possible, but this is exactly what has been done with all tradable financial instruments globally. Essentially, all securities, quote, owned by the public in custodial accounts, pension plans, and investment funds are now encumbered as collateral, underpinning the derivatives complex. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And we are diving back into The Great Taking by David Rogers Webb. This show is brought to you by the Human Rights Foundation and their incredible Financial Freedom Report. And actually, in the last one, I haven't actually dug into it. I just read what they broke, the details that they broke down in the report. But there is a new parasite pool, which has no fees and is Lightning native. So you can actually receive payouts as low as 10 Satoshis. I don't know how it works, but I am really interested, and I had not heard about it until I read the Financial Freedom Report. I think it was number 75. But if you were looking for details on everything about financial freedom, about the fight for human rights, and also the tools, parasite pool being a great example, for securing your financial and monetary freedom no matter where you are in the world, this is why the Financial Freedom Report exists. Check them out. The link and details are right in the show notes, and I'll try to link to number 75 specifically if you're curious about the pool. The show is also brought to you by the BitKit mobile wallet. This is non-custodial. You hold your keys on-chain and Lightning. And now if you want to look super, super rich, you can turn your sats into Bitcoins. They support BIP. I think it's 177. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's totally an option. You can leave it as sats or whatever. It just shows the Bitcoin symbol next to it. But this is seriously a fantastic wallet. It's got an incredible design. If you're trying to bring somebody in to hold their keys for the first time and just conceptually, like intuitively know what to do in the wallet and how to use it, I really think this is probably one of the best ones out there, in my opinion. So check them out. Link and details in the show notes. That is BitKit, BITKIT. All right. So we're getting into part two of The Great Taking. And I got to tell you, I'm going to have a really hard time not doing a guy's take until the very end of this, because there's so many little things that like strike me as really interesting. And I don't think it's in part two. I think it's in the section that I'll be dropping when I finish the next episode. But the referencing back and explaining things that occurred during the Great Depression and how there's actually a ton of parallels to today is really, really fascinating. And most importantly of all, I love how it ends. I've already read the whole thing and I'm just finishing up the recording of it. But the last two sections in particular, I feel like really kind of drive the point home and are just really good. So anyway, I'll cut my commentary here. And we will just dive right back in to part two of The Great Taking. Chapter 2. Dematerialization. All warfare is based on deception. Sun Tzu. There are now no property rights to securities held in book entry form in any jurisdiction globally. In the grand scheme to confiscate all collateral, dematerialization of securities was the essential first step. The planning and efforts began over half a century ago. That there was some great strategic purpose behind dematerialization is evidenced by the fact that the CIA was assigned to the mission. The project leader was William Bill Dentzer Jr., a career CIA operative, By his admission in his own written memoir, he started his career working to establish anti-communist student organizations in Europe with the backing of the CIA. The CIA had arranged his draft deferment. He was then specifically assigned to the CIA and worked there openly for 5 years. Subsequently, he was transferred from the CIA to the task force, which created the Agency for International Development, or AID. He became special assistant to the first head of AID, and thereafter special assistant to the U.S. coordinator of the Alliance for Progress, which was active in Latin America. He was then appointed executive secretary of the Clay Committee, which lobbied for congressional appropriations for AID. After 3 years as director of AID in Peru, he was named deputy U.S. ambassador to the Organization of American States. He states in his memoir, "Given events in the United States in the late 1960s, including the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy, my interest had begun to shift from the international to the domestic front." Then, strangely, even though he had no background in any aspect of banking or finance, he was appointed New York State Superintendent of Banks by Nelson Rockefeller. This came after his nomination for the newly formed New York State Council of Economic Advisers by its chairman, former head of the World Bank, Eugene Black. Interestingly, Black's father had been chairman of the Federal Reserve in 1933. Within 2 years of assuming his position as New York State Bank superintendent, Dentzer was named chairman and CEO of the newly formed Depository Trust Group, or DTC, a post he held for the next 22 years. In other words, through the entire process of dematerialization. In the late 1960s, something called the Banking and Securities Industry Committee, BASIC, had been formed to find a solution to the, quote, paperwork crisis. It seemed the burdens of handling physical stock certificates had suddenly become too great, so much so that the New York Stock Exchange had suspended trading some days. Quote, lawmakers then urged the government to step into the process. The BASIC reporting recommended changing from processing physical stock certificates to book entry transfers of ownership via computerized entries in a trust company that would hold the underlying certificates, quote, immobilized. This trust company would develop the necessary computer and other systems. I happened to meet with network engineers of DTC 40 years ago in my first job out of school. Was this paperwork crisis manufactured in order to provide an imperative for dematerialization? Consider that DTC did not begin operations until 1973, and that no significant degree of dematerialization was achieved for many years. However, somehow during this intervening period, stock exchanges continued to function, in spite of escalating trade volumes, without the elimination of certificates, especially with the aid of computerization. It could be done and was done. DTC eventually became the model for the Central Securities Depository, the CSD, and Central Clearing Counterparty, CCP, the purposes of which will be explained later. Chapter 3. Security Entitlement.
Never attempt to win by force what can be won by deception. Niccolo Machiavelli.
The greatest subjugation in world history will have been made possible by the invention of a construct, a subterfuge, a lie, the, quote, security entitlement. Since their beginnings more than four centuries ago, tradable financial instruments were recognized under law everywhere as personal property. Perhaps that is why they were called securities. It may come as a shock to you that this is no longer the case. In order to convey to you what has been done, let me start with an analogy. Let's say that you have purchased an automobile for cash. Having no debt against the vehicle, you believe that you now own it outright. Despite that, the auto dealer has been allowed by a newly invented legal concept to treat your car as his asset and to use it as collateral to borrow money for his own purposes. Now the auto dealer has become bankrupt, and your vehicle, along with all of the others sold by the dealer, are seized by certain secured creditors of the dealership, with no judicial review being necessary, as legal certainty was previously established that they have absolute power to take your car in the event of the bankruptcy of the dealer.
Now, to be clear, I am not talking about your car. I am illustrating the horror and simplicity of the lie. You are led to believe that you own something, but someone else secretly controls it as collateral, and they have now established legal certainty that they have absolute power to take it immediately in the event of insolvency, and not your insolvency, but insolvency of the people who secretly gave them your property as collateral. It does not seem possible, but this is exactly what has been done with all tradable financial instruments globally. The proof of this is absolutely irrefutable. This is wired to go now. Essentially, all securities, quote, owned by the public in custodial accounts, pension plans, and investment funds are now encumbered as collateral, underpinning the derivatives complex, which is so large, an order of magnitude greater than the entire global economy, that there is not enough of anything in the world to back it. The illusion of collateral backing is facilitated by a daisy chain of hypothecation and rehypothecation in which the same underlying client collateral is reused many times over by a series of secured creditors. And so it is these creditors who understand this system, who have demanded even more access to client assets as collateral. It is now assured that in the implosion of the everything bubble, collateral will be swept up on a vast scale. The plumbing to do this is in place. Legal certainty has been established that the collateral can be taken immediately and without judicial review by entities described in court documents as, quote, the protected class. Even sophisticated professional investors who were assured that their securities are, quote, segregated, will not be protected. An enormous amount of sophisticated planning and implementation was sustained over decades with the purpose of subverting property rights in just this way. It began in the United States by amending the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, in all 50 states. While this required many years of effort, it could be done quietly without an act of Congress. These are the key facts. Ownership of securities as property has been replaced with a new legal concept of a, quote, security entitlement, which is a contractual claim assuring a very weak position if the account provider becomes insolvent. All securities are held in unsegregated pooled form. Securities used as collateral and those restricted from such use are held in the same pool. All account holders, including those who have prohibited use of their securities as collateral, must by law receive only a pro rata share of residual assets. Quote, revindication, i.e. the taking back of one's own securities in the event of insolvency, is absolutely prohibited. Account providers may legally borrow pooled securities to collateralize proprietary trading and financing. Quote, safe harbor assures secured creditors priority claim to pooled securities ahead of account holders. And the absolute priority claim of secured creditors to pooled client securities has been upheld by the courts. Account providers are legally empowered to, quote, borrow pooled securities without restriction. This is called, quote, self-help. As we will see, the objective is to utilize all securities as collateral. I assure you that this is not conjecture. You would be greatly mistaken in dismissing this as conspiracy theory, which is a common reaction to so much unpleasantness. It is possible to really know about this. The documentation is absolutely irrefutable. In April of 2004, the European Commission Internal Markets and Securities Director General proposed, quote, the setting up of group of legal experts as a specific exercise intended to address problems of legal uncertainty identified in the context of considering the way forward for clearing and settlement in the European Union. This became the Legal Certainty Group. Legal uncertainty sounds like a bad thing, and legal certainty sounds like a good thing. However, the objective was merely to make it legally certain that secured creditors would be empowered to immediately take client assets in the failure of a custodian. In March of 2006, the Deputy General Counsel for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York provided a detailed response to a questionnaire prepared by the Legal Certainty Group, which was looking to the Fed to tell them exactly how to do it. The following are excerpts from that response, which is also included in full in this book's appendix. Question, EU. In respect of what legal system are the following answers given? Answer, New York Fed. This response confines itself to U.S. commercial law, primarily Article 8 and parts of Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC. The subject matter of Article 8 is investment securities, and the subject of Article 9 is secured transactions. Article 8 and Article 9 have been adopted throughout the United States. Question, EU. Where securities are held in pooled form, example, a collective securities position, rather than segregated individual positions per person, does the investor have rights attaching to particular securities in the pool? Answer, New York Fed. No. The security entitlement holder has a pro rata share of the interest in the financial asset held by its securities intermediary. This is true even if investor positions are, quote, segregated. Question, EU. Is the investor protected against the insolvency of an intermediary, and if so, how? Answer, New York Fed. An investor is always vulnerable to a securities intermediary that does not itself have interest in a financial asset sufficient to cover all of the securities entitlements that it has created in that financial asset. If the secured creditor has control over the financial asset, it will have priority over entitlement holders. If the securities intermediary is a clearing corporation, the claims of its creditors have priority over the claims of entitlement holders. Question, EU. What rules protect a transferee acting in good faith? Answer, New York Fed. Article 8 protects a purchaser of a financial asset against claims of an entitlement holder to a property interest in that financial asset by limiting the entitlement holder's ability to enforce that claim. Essentially, unless the purchaser was involved in the wrongdoing of the securities intermediary, an entitlement holder will be precluded from raising a claim against it. Question, EU. How are shortfalls, i.e. the intermediary's position with an upper-tier intermediary is less than the aggregate recorded position of the intermediary's account holders, handled in practice? Answer, New York Fed. The only rule in such instances is that the security entitlement holders simply share pro rata in the interest held by the securities intermediary. In actual fact, shortfalls occur frequently due to fails and for other reasons, but are of no general consequence except in the case of the security intermediary's insolvency. Question, EU. Does the treatment of shortfalls differ according to whether there is 1. No fault on the part of the intermediary, 2. If fault, fraud, or 3. If fault, negligence or similar breach of duty? Answer, New York Fed. In terms of the interest that the entitlement holders have in the financial assets credited to its securities account, regardless of fault, fraud, or negligence of the securities intermediary, under Article 8, the entitlement holder has only a pro rata share in the security intermediary's interest in the financial asset in question. That's how it works, directly from the horse's mouth, i.e., the most authoritative source possible, lawyers working for the Fed. Further exposure of the purpose of the invention of the security entitlement can be found in a discussion paper concerning, quote, legislation on legal certainty of securities holding and dispositions, prepared for the European Commission's Directorate General Internal Market and Services in 2012. Where securities are concerned, the standard has always been that a custodian has to hold sufficient securities in order to meet all its clients' claims. In most EU jurisdictions, such a standard is guaranteed by giving investors ownership rights towards securities. Some markets, however, treat securities like money. The US and Canada base their law on the concept that investors do not own securities, but they own securities entitlements against their account providers instead. The advantage of this concept is the potential increase in the amount of assets available as collateral, but critics view it as a threat to stability of the system because the assets concerned are based on the same underlying resource. Concern has been voiced by market participants, regulators, central banks, and international institutions about potential collateral shortages. There is pressure to broaden the range of securities eligible as collateral. As a result of the demand for collateral, securities are increasingly regarded by market participants as a funding tool. These trends reinforce the market trends to treat securities like money, with significant implications for ownership. The risk of unauthorized use of clients' assets is increased by the employment of omnibus account structures. Omnibus accounts pool assets so that individual securities cannot be identified against specific investors. This works well until a bankruptcy occurs. If the account provider defaults, a client with a mere contractual claim becomes an unsecured creditor, meaning the client's assets are, as a rule, tied to the insolvency estate, and it is obliged to line up with all the other unsecured creditors to receive its assets back. Reuse of security interest collateral carries greater risk to the financial system because multiple counterparties may compete for the same collateral in default, so-called priority contests. Clearly, the European Union Directorate General Internal Market and Services fully knew the above in 2012. In the next global financial panic, what are the chances that there will be much of anything remaining in these pools of securities after the secured creditors have helped themselves? There will be a game of musical chairs. When the music stops, you will not have a seat. It is designed to work that way. It is time to ask, cui bono? Who benefits? It is certainly not the citizens who have lost their property rights, who have been betrayed in this deception by their own governments. The reason given for this legislation on legal certainty is, quote, demand for collateral by, quote, market participants. They are not referring to you and me, the public. Market participants is a euphemism for the powerful creditors who control governments. They have worked for many years to establish their legal certainty worldwide. Chapter 4. Harmonization. Those skilled at making the enemy move do so by creating a situation to which he must conform. They entice him with something he is certain to take, and with lures of ostensible profit, they await him in strength. Sun Tzu. What was the purpose of seemingly out-of-control financialization? The threat of financial collapse and the promise of continued financial profits have been used to herd the nations. An imperative has been created that certain secured creditors must be given legally certain claims to client assets globally without exception, with the further assurance of near instantaneous cross-border mobility of legal control of such collateral. The global push for conformance to the U.S. model for achieving such legal certainty and mobility began in earnest more than 20 years ago in the aftermath of the dot-com bust. Financial instability and the threat of, quote, collateral shortages were used as justification. Deliberate efforts were sustained globally over many years. People were paid to do this, to betray the vital interests of their own people. It was done first in the U.S. and then demanded globally under the name of, quote, harmonization. Perhaps the emphasis should be on harm. The, quote, Hague Convention on the Law Applicable to Certain Rights in Respect to Securities Held with an Intermediary, end quote, was drafted in 2002 and signed in 2006. It was an international multilateral treaty intended to remove, globally, legal uncertainties for cross-border securities transactions. The convention introduced a newly invented conflict of laws rule to be applied to security transactions, especially collateral transactions, namely the, quote, place of the relevant intermediary approach, or PRIMA. This was designed to avoid problematic national law, which might allow owners to recover their assets taken by a creditor as collateral by setting the place of law in the account agreements with intermediaries. One of the people most involved was James S. Rogers, perhaps a distant cousin of mine, who, according to his own biography, quote, served as one of the United States delegates to the Hague Conference on Private International Law Project to negotiate and draft a convention on choice of law for securities holding through securities intermediaries, and as a member of drafting group for that convention. Interestingly, Rogers also notes that he had served as reporter, principal drafter, for the drafting committee to revise UCC Article 8, which established a new legal framework for the modern system of electronic, book entry securities holdings through central depositories and other intermediaries. Very few people were involved in the drafting of the 1994 revisions to Articles 8 and 9 of the UCC. A report by the Financial Markets Law Committee, a quote charity affiliated with the Bank of England, contains this illuminating quote. Professor Rogers, reporter to the Article 8, 1994 Revision Drafting Committee, recalls how at the outset of the Article 8 revision one could probably have counted on one hand, with a few fingers unused, the number of people among those appointed to the Article 8 Drafting Committee, or among the full membership of the sponsoring organizations that would ultimately have to approve the work of the Drafting Committee, who had any familiarity with either old, 1978 version, Article 8, or the modern securities holding system. If Professor Rogers was one finger, Professor Egon Guttman was the other. As the author of Modern Securities Transfers, he was the foremost expert on security transfers and secured transactions under Articles 8 and 9 of the UCC. Professor Guttman passed away in 2021, and so descriptions of his activities are disappearing, but I have saved references to his work dating back to 2012. Professor Guttman has been involved in the revisions of various articles of the Uniform Commercial Code, and as a member of U.S. Department of State working groups in the drafting of conventions relating to international commercial transactions. And so, harmonization of this regime giving control globally to a select group of secured creditors was pushed from the highest levels of the U.S. government. The Department of State was the first administrative arm of the U.S. executive branch, with Thomas Jefferson becoming the first Secretary of State in 1789. It is the foremost executive power globally. After years of effort, the Hague Securities Convention was signed by only the United States, Switzerland, and Mauritius. The EU did not sign the convention due to the identification of problematic European law, which assured property rights to the owners of securities in some jurisdictions. Europe has the ancient legal principle of lex rei sitiae, the law where the property is situated, and could not easily accept the workaround of, quote, place of the relevant intermediary approach, or prima, invented in the Hague Securities Convention. However, the manifest objective of providing legal certainty to creditors was not in dispute and was clearly accepted by EU authorities, as evidenced by Directive 2002/47/EC of the European Parliament and of the Council of 6th of June 2002 on financial collateral agreements. This document, which was published roughly contemporaneously with the drafting of the Hague Securities Convention, contains the following statements. In order to improve the legal certainty of financial collateral arrangements, member states should ensue that certain provisions of insolvency law do not apply to such arrangements, in particular those that would inhibit the effective realization of financial collateral. The principle in Directive 98/26EC, whereby the law applicable to book entry securities, provided as collateral in the law of the jurisdiction where the relevant register, account, or centralized deposit system is located, should be extended in order to create legal certainty regarding the use of such securities held in a cross-border context and used as financial collateral under the scope of this directive. The objective of legal certainty for creditors was to be pursued by other means, where they could not easily change problematic local law in which investors had property rights to securities. They structured around it. This is what lawyers, investment bankers, and apparently government officials are paid to do. Euroclear is one of two European International Central Security Depositories, ICSD, the other being Clearstream. The Brussels office of Morgan Guarantee Trust Company of New York, Morgan Guarantee, founded the Euroclear system in December 1968. Morgan Guarantee began operating as J.P. Morgan in 1988. In 2004, the Deputy General Counsel of Euroclear, Diego Devos, sent a memorandum with, quote, preparatory information regarding European legal harmonization to DC Internal Market. Here are some excerpts. This note describes Euroclear's recommendations with regard to the legal barriers that should be addressed as priority items by the legal working group that the Commission intends to set up as a follow-up of its communication on clearing and settlement in the European Union dated April 28, 2004. In particular, we identify issues that complicate and prevent the full implementation of major initiatives that the market is undertaking on platform consolidation and harmonization. Recommended removal or modification of requirements that do not recognize the multi-layer holding structure that is the norm in cross-border activity, including recognition in the EU of the pooled holding of registered assets through a nominee structure and the different nature of legal and beneficial ownership in order to keep registered securities on a fungible basis at local level and protection of the rights of the nominee. Elimination or modification of requirements that directly or effectively require the maintenance of individual records or accounts per beneficial owner. Recommended: eliminate impediments to free use of collateral cross-border. Diego Devos went on to the appointed General Counsel of the Bank for International Settlements, or BIS, in 2009. As noted in the preceding chapter, in April of 2004, the European Commission Internal Markets and Services Director General proposed setting up a, quote, group of legal experts as a specific exercise intended to address problems of legal uncertainty identified in the context of considering the way forward for clearing and settlement in the European Union, end quote. It took 10 years of conniving, but in 2014, the way forward was made certain with the Central Securities Depository Regulation, or CSDR. I had arranged to speak at a hedge fund conference in Zurich in January of 2014 to warn the, quote, professionals about the undermining of property rights to securities and of the implications. I thought perhaps the tide could be turned in Europe. Believe it or not, this was in large part my purpose in moving to Europe. Prior to the conference, I had sent personal emails with the outline of my points to all of the attendees. While I was speaking, by the bright light of the projection screen, I could see that the eyes of the people in the room were as wide as saucers. When I finished, there was complete silence. In the coffee break that followed, I asked people what they had thought about what I had said. I asked if they understood what I was explaining. One person merely replied, "Oh yes." I asked him what he would do about it. He simply said, "Nothing." I asked him why he would do nothing. His reply was, "My clients don't care about this." I said, "They don't care about it because they don't know about it." 6 months later, the Central Securities Depository Regulation, or CSDR, was implemented by the EU Directive number 909/2014. A Central Security Depository, CSD, operates a book entry system for electronic settlement of trades and maintains a record of, quote, ownership. An International Central Security Depository, or ICSD, is linked to national CSDs, and it handles securities lending and collateral management, as noted by the European Securities and Markets Authority, quote, CSDR plays a pivotal role for post-trade harmonization efforts in Europe as it enhances the legal and operational conditions for cross-border settlement in the EU. And thus, the desired goal of cross-border mobility of collateral has been achieved. How was that engineered? CSDR provides for links between CSDs. National CSDs, which hold the record of ownership, are linked to the international central security depositories. The transfer of legal title to customer collateral from the national CSD to the ICSD and the use of customer collateral are thus enabled. The customer has, quote, ownership in the book entry system of the national CSD, while the collateral is held in pooled form at the ICSD level. This allows the, quote, cross-border services, or in other words, the use of customer collateral. This is essentially the U.S. model, in which all custodians have accounts at DTC, which holds all securities in pooled form. DTC functions as an ICSD. We will see how that has worked in looking specifically at Euroclear and developments in Finland and Sweden. Once upon a time, Finland and Sweden had legal systems and national registries of securities ownership, which assured owners that their securities could not be used as collateral without express agreement. It had been possible to own and hold Swedish government bonds, for example, with absolute certainty that they could not be lost in an insolvency of a custodian. In 2006, the Legal Certainty Group identified Sweden and Finland as having problematic law. In 2008, Euroclear was allowed to acquire 100% of Nordic Central Security Depository, NCSD, which owned the central security depositories of both Finland and Sweden. Suomen arvopaperikeskus Oy, or APK, and VPC AB, or VPC, respectively. These are now local CSDs linked to Euroclear Bank SA/NV, which operates as an ICSD under Belgian law. CSDR requires an account provider to publicly disclose the levels of protection and costs associated with the different levels of segregation of securities accounts at the central securities depositories. Skandinaviska Enskilda Banken AB, or SEB, makes such a disclosure with respect to central securities depositories in Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Norway, Euroclear Bank SA/NV, and Clearstream Banking SA. Here are the shocking key passages from that disclosure. In the unlikely event of a shortfall of securities, the client in question will not be able to claim a right of separation, but will likely be considered as an unsecured creditor without priority to the assets of the bankruptcy estate. In the case of securities held at Euroclear Bank SA/NV Belgian law, the Royal Decree No. 62 applies provisions following the principle that all securities deposited by Euroclear Bank SA/NV participants, i.e. SEB, with Euroclear Bank SA/NV are deposited on fungible basis. By virtue of the Royal Decree, Euroclear Bank SA/NV participants have been given by law a co-ownership right of an intangible nature on a pool of book entry securities of the same category held by Euroclear Bank SA/NV on behalf of all Euroclear Bank SA/NV participants having deposited securities of the same category. The said decree provides for a loss-sharing provision for the underlying clients of a Euroclear Bank SA/NV participant in case such Euroclear Bank SA/NV participant goes into default. Furthermore, Belgian law gives the National Bank of Belgium privilege over Euroclear Bank SA/NV's own proprietary securities to cover, for example, a situation where securities that are held by Euroclear Bank SA/NV with any depository on behalf of its participants are not enough to cover the actual holdings of such securities by the participants. Thus, over a period of 6 years, property rights to securities in Sweden and Finland were deliberately subverted. These countries went from having the strongest property rights to securities to having no property rights to securities, beyond an artificial appearance of ownership. In 2014, coincident with the EU directive on central securities depositories, shocking changes were made to Swedish law. Very few know about this, other than the people who did it. I tracked this down through a cryptic reference in a Euroclear document. General Terms and Conditions, Account Operations and Clearing. Buried in there on page 38 is the following clue. Section 14.2. Prevailing law relating to the disposal of VPC accounts and financial instruments registered in a VPC account. The real right consequence of disposals relating to VPC accounts and financial instruments registered in VPC accounts are governed by the provisions in Chapter 6 of LKF. This quote refers to Sweden's law on central security depositories and accounting for financial instruments. Chapter 6 of this law is titled in translation, quote, Legal Effect of Registration, Presumption of Ownership, end quote. Buried at the bottom of this chapter is found the further direction. Quote, Special provisions on pledging of financial instruments are found in the Act 1991:980 on trading in financial instruments. Within Act 1991:980, Chapter 3 is titled, quote, Disposal of financial instruments belonging to someone else, end quote. Now we are getting warm. The first paragraph states that, quote, the intended disposal must be specified carefully. That seems like a good thing, but it goes on to state the following, quote,
The first paragraph does not apply if the company's counterparty or the parties to an agreement in which the company participates is another company that is under the supervision of the Financial Supervisory Authority, or a foreign company with the EEA that is allowed to run comparable activities in its home country, and that is under the reassuring supervision of an authority or other competent body. This gives the local CSD legal authority and broad latitude to pass legal control of customer assets as collateral to the ICSD without the knowledge or approval of the account holder. The implementation of this is now so thorough that a Swedish citizen cannot hold Swedish government bonds in Sweden as property without exposure to insolvency of the account provider, the local CSD, or of the ICSD. The securities of Swedish citizens are certainly pooled with securities being used as collateral elsewhere. I came to Sweden in 2009 in order to be able to hold Swedish government bonds in Sweden with property rights. I was able to do that using a VP Konto, or account, at Handelsbanken. However, following the legal changes made in 2014, Handelsbanken completely discontinued the VP Konto structure and offered clients only custody accounts. SEB also discontinued its long-standing VP account structure, which had assured direct ownership of specific securities, but then introduced something they called a service VP account, which is held with the local CSD, Euroclear Sweden. I called into SEB about this and was told that a VP account specialist would call me. When I received the call, I asked two simple questions. 1. Are securities held in a service VP account specifically identified under the name of the account holder? And 2. Can the securities held in a service VP account be revindicated in the event of the failure of SEB or of Euroclear? The VP account specialist put me on hold for a long time while he investigated my questions. When he came back, his answer was simply that, while there might be a small risk of failure of Euroclear, the account was insured for 250,000 kroner. He confirmed that holding of securities at Euroclear was the change made with the new service VP account structure, and he confirmed that there is a risk of loss of securities with the new structure. He seemed shocked himself to have learned this. In 2011, a friend who had been a state secretary in the Swedish government arranged for me to meet with the minister and the state secretary for financial markets. I was so moved when I received the email informing me of this, tears came to my eyes. It gave me hope that in Sweden it might be possible to make a difference, and thus to turn the tide somewhere. I am forever grateful to them for that meeting. Such a thing would never be allowed in the land of my birth. They heard me out about the implications of conforming to the US model, and did not disagree. They said it might be possible to avoid this if the Germans would stand against it, the implication being that little Sweden could not do it alone. The juggernaut rolled on. We are all in its path. Chapter 5. Collateral Management.
Alright, we're going to stop that one right there. Starting back in on Chapter 5, Collateral Management, and that section actually kicks off, it is a really great framing for the next couple of chapters, so I think it will be a perfect place to start Part 3, because it focuses on breaking down the structure of who owns the capital and where the collateral, like who's obligated to whom with the collateral in the structure of CSDs and the central clearing parties. It starts off a little bit technical, but it's really, really important to understand, I think, in the framing of the image that he is laying out. But a big shout out to HRF and the Human Rights Foundation and the Financial Freedom Report. Again, if you're interested in Parasite Pool that pays out over Lightning and has zero fees. And another actually really cool thing that was in number 75 was Phoenix Wallet has announced that they are supporting Infinite Bolt 12 invoices, which this is an invoice that you can just post somewhere and people can pay to it indefinitely. It basically works like a Bitcoin address, except it's for Lightning. Seriously, if you're not keeping up with the Financial Freedom Report, you're going to miss a whole bunch of really cool stuff. So check it out, link and details in the show notes. And of course, check out the BitKit wallet. This is non-custodial. You hold your keys, Bitcoin and Lightning, on-chain and Lightning, in a super simple and intuitive interface where you literally just have your savings and your spending wallet, and that's how you think about it. If you're onboarding somebody to holding their keys and exploring actually using it, like you want to take them to Steak and Shake so they could buy something with Lightning, BitKit is a great one to start on. You will find everything you need down in the description of this show. All right, guys, with that, I'll catch you in another day or two with part three and finally part four, and then a guy's take to wrap this up, because this one just, it is a wild piece, and it's hard not to take his perspective on it. Like, without a doubt, what he is saying, the details that he's explaining are true, because he can point to them and show them, and there's even case law, which I don't think we got into this section, but there's case law to back it up. Like, this was actually judged this way in court already. But he lays out a hell of a case that this is a purposeful plan. So we'll get back into it right here on Bitcoin Audible. And until then, everybody, take it easy, guys. Set the standard. Stop expecting others to show you love, acceptance, commitment, and respect when you don't even show that to yourself. Steve Maraboli.